Peace of Christ be with you, and welcome to this beautiful Friday. Here's our resolution. We want to be Christians. We want to follow Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, all the way out of the darkness of the empty tomb and into the bright light of the fresh new dawn. We want to explore that wide open country. We want to follow Jesus. This morning, we have the rare gift and honor to host one such follower, a man who's had a circuitous route in his life. He started as a medical doctor. What he told me is he's a gas man. And then he started feeling the call to ministry and became a priest. And in that season, he also was tapped to be an emissary witness in the Middle East on behalf of Covenant Cathedral in England. And he began a long and new ministry of profound reconciliation conversations in the Arab world, in the Middle East world, with Israel, with Palestinians. As things got more intense in Iraq, God called him to Baghdad, where he is the chaplain of St. George's Anglican Church, an international Christian witness. To put a sharper point on this, our guest is a man who over the last 10 years has faithfully been baptizing and offering the body and blood of Christ in the red zone, in one of the most unstable and dangerous places in the world. In the midst of that, he's had a profound impact for the church and a profound witness of reconciliation. Would you please join with me in welcoming one of the world's leading reconciliation conversation partners in the Middle East, the Reverend Canon Dr. Andrew White, to Hope College.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
In our church in Iraq, we start every service with the words, Allahumana. As one Iraqi here, she can tell you what you say back. In other words, it means the Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. So, the Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Do you know what? Before I get to talk, which I know I've only got a brief time, this has been quite difficult for me this morning because I have to confess I'm very much a Wheaton man. And I've been going there for years and teaching there for years. But this morning, coming in here and worshipping you, with you, I realized you were better. And I'm really serious about that. My assistant, who's with me here and in Baghdad, is a Wheaton man. But I think we should have somebody from Hope as well, don't you, Paul? Yeah. Pray about it. He came to me. I was speaking at their graduation, at their commencement. I know I offered him a job. Come to Baghdad. Bombs, rockets, knives. Lovely. And he said, yes. These Wheaton people are a bit strange. Now, the most wonderful passage in the Bible, one of them is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all about love, but it's about trusting God. the one who was, who is, and who is to come. And the most incredible verse has the name of your college in it. Now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And what I have seen here this morning is that you haven't just got hope, you've got love as well. So there's no stopping you. And the thing about where we are in Baghdad, we are in the most dangerous city in the world. But there are three things that keep us going forward. First of all, faith. We have to know what we believe in. We can say the creed and believe it. I believe in God Almighty, the Father, who made heaven and earth. But it doesn't stop there. We need to know the foundation of who we are. But we need hope. We need to be able to move forward, not in our way, but God's way. Without hope, we cannot do anything. Hope is the thing which enables us to move forward. Ever had anybody who moves backwards? They're a waste of time. You don't get anywhere moving backwards. And we are all on a journey. We are all going somewhere. Because soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. And you're going there. And I'm going there, and we will meet there with the King who is immortal, invisible, the only wise God. We have to be able to all know where we are moving forward. I say to my children, I've got four Iraqi children and two English children. And yesterday was a very significant day for me because I was talking to my English son and he said to me, "Daddy, I have decided I'm going to read social and political science and they don't do the course I want at Oxford. Thank you, Lord." He wants to go to Cambridge. And I'd been praying that so hard. So hard. But you are all here in a place of hope because you know where you're going. I remember when I was a young boy being asked at school, "What are you going to do when you grow up?" we were asked. And I said, "When I grow up, I want to be an anesthesiologist and a priest." And my teacher said, "You can't be a priest because you're a Pentecostal and a Baptist, and they don't have priests." So I went off to medical school, trained to be a gas man so I know how to put you to sleep with drugs and sermons. I can do both. But drugs are quicker. And then one day, God, I was so pleased to be at St. Thomas's Hospital, starting in 1106, opposite Big Ben. And I went out one day and I prayed, Lord, I thank you that you've sent me to the best hospital in the world to train. And I thank you that I'm going to be here forever. What next, Lord? Most dangerous thing you can ever say to God is what next? So he said, I want you in the church. And the Anglican church, I said, but Lord, they're not even all Christians. They're not even all saved. I went off. I did my theology at Cambridge. I specialized in Judaism. I became a Middle East expert. I was minister in London. Then went to Coventry Cathedral and was made responsible for international reconciliation. So I went to Iraq. I tried so hard to get into Iraq. I knew I had to. I asked the Deputy Prime Minister to Saddam Hussein. Under Saddam, everybody was deputy. And he said, first stop sanctions, then come. And then, do you know what I did in the end? I got my staff together and we prayed about it. When you pray, coincidences happen. When you don't, they don't. So the next day after we prayed, I got an invite from the Deputy Prime Minister to go to Iraq. So I went. And that was in 1998. First few years, I was working on political and reconciliation things. That wasn't the reason I was there. I was really not achieving a huge amount. And then, a few years later, a president from here decided to go to war against there. That was when we had a good president. Not that I'm very politically inclined. Just thought I'd drop that in. So, since then, we started a church with nobody, a redundant church. The only thing in my church living was a pigeon. And first of all, the church was all military and diplomats. And then it got too dangerous to go outside the green zone. So they left. So we started with a few Iraqis coming. First week, 100. Second week, 200. Third week, 300. Fourth week, 400. I started to think, oh, this growth rate is quite good. Now we have a church which is 5,500 strong. I've had 1,000 of my congregation killed since 2003. That's faith under fire. We've been shot at, we've been blown up, we've been persecuted, kidnapped. I've had all those things. Somebody said to me here yesterday, what's the worst thing you had done to you? I said, it's very difficult to tell. Because we don't think about the worst things. We think about the most wonderful things. Yes, it wasn't very nice when they threw me in a room with chopped off fingers and toes all over the floor. I thought mine were going to be next. But the greatest thing has been the love of God. And it's the love of God that holds us all together. My daughter, I said to her yesterday, she's pointing at a watch, I'll stop. I said to her yesterday, what's the most important thing? She said, the most important thing to remember is when you have lost everything, Jesus is all you've got left. Bye.